Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Hello, this is Stephen O'Doherty. Opinion polls constantly tell the story of a disaffection of people generally with organized religion. But does that go to the issue of Christianity itself? In our everyday walk, can individual Christians make all the difference? Well, that's an organizing principle of Q Ideas, best described perhaps as a community shaped by a way of thinking about issues. Q Ideas has various forums, both nationally and internationally, including here in Australia, to raise questions about living out our faith in the public square, and in particular, contributing to the common good. The New York Times came up with a good description of Q. They call it sophisticated and orthodox. Others might call it a thorough biblical theology that helps to answer the question of Charles Colson, in light of the gospel, how now shall we live? The co-founder of Q is Gabe Lyons. The Q Ideas movement has certainly helped influence some of the policy work that I've been involved in recent years, and it was an absolute thrill to be able to travel to Nashville to speak with Gabe Lyons.
It's really the reason we began Q in our work was my realization in my mid-20s that most of my Christian friends didn't really know how to engage the real conversations our friends that weren't part of the church were having. And I thought, how are we going to ever share the truth of God, the love of Jesus, the ways in which he's called us to live in the world if people essentially don't think Christians are that educated or informed about what's happening in the world? And so we kind of rolled up our sleeves and said, we've got some work to do.
Do you think often Christians are afraid of having a difficult conversation?
Yeah, I think they do. And we found in our research in American life that almost two-thirds of evangelical Christians, a certain sort of subtype of Christians, but very representative of the types of Christians in American life, they were one of the least likely to have a conversation with somebody outside their faith. Whereas Muslims, those within the LGBT community, they were much more willing to stir up a conversation with somebody different than them than Christians were, and it proves your point.
You've got some research that I saw just a few minutes ago that says, I think nearly half of Americans of any background think that the church is a divisive influence rather than the other.
That's right. 46% of people in American life think religion's part of the problem, and 42% believe people of faith is part of the problem in society. Really staggering numbers when you consider typically people would see people of faith as being part of the solution and contributing to some of the answers, or having high respect for clergy and those who work in ministry type work or religious work. And today that's shifted to where people view us as irrelevant at best and extreme at worst. And they think, man, if you are somebody who's living by transcendent truths or believe a certain religion, you might be harming our society. You might be causing some of the problems we're having to deal with.
And it needs to be said, and we're living through this in Australia right at the moment, we've had an ongoing Royal Commission that's looking at the way institutions have responded to child abuse, and it's been looking at large institutions, including big churches, and the story is a terrible story.
Yeah, and I think it's not only a lack of trust now in institutions, but you combine that with the way religion has been used to defend certain things that are horrific, to overlook certain areas that need to be dealt with that are illegal, that are unjust. And so we've got a lot of work to do to kind of rebuild that credibility. But you know what I love about it is it starts with everyday conversations, one-on-one, where when you meet somebody and they realize, hey, you're a person of faith, but you don't think the way I thought the stereotype of a person of faith would think. And they all of a sudden are open to a new perception than they had. And you only change these kind of things sort of one person at a time. So we have a lot of work to do, but the good news is every one of us gets to participate in that project.
Well, the even better news is that Q Ideas is a place that people can go to find out how to have those conversations, or at least hear perspectives that'll give them some material to work with. Tell me about Q Ideas. How did it start? What's its objective?
So for over a decade, we've been hosting events all over the United States, specifically to encourage Christians to be thoughtful, informed, and then doing good in their cities and in their communities, really contributing to the prosperity of their city, because then we will prosper, right? We know this from Jeremiah. And so Q, specifically, we commission talks, 9-minute talks, 18-minute talks that deal with every kind of subject matter you could ever imagine. So we're talking about things from politics to education to media to entertainment, to issues of sexuality, to tolerance, to what does it look like for people to disagree but still find civility and to get along. And we've been doing that now for over a decade. Over 1,300 talks have now been commissioned and taken place. And so our website, qideas.org, helps offer many of those for free access. So anybody could look at those and learn about how both Christians are thinking about certain areas of our culture, but also not just Christians, experts in certain categories that we all need to learn from. We love to platform them and give them a place to help us be educated and to learn alongside them.
You've got Q Commons, which is an international version of that, and that includes international talks that come live on the satellite or whatever it is, and then local talks responding to similar issues. And I've been fortunate to be the host of Q Commons in Sydney. Is this a worldwide organization, or is it something different from that?
It's really an excuse to get us together, to get a bunch of thoughtful people in the same room to say, what is it that we need to understand is happening in our community and how do we engage it? But in addition to that, as you said, we live stream, we broadcast 3 global talks that everybody in the world is hearing who's a part of this event. So we're talking almost 20,000 people who are unified by being challenged to think deeply about issues that relate to all of us as Christians. And part of our goal is just to help connect people, create networks in these cities, but also to inculcate a way of thinking that's a posture of Christians caring about the common good of their neighbors, not just about their own good.
So let's get to the theological roots of this, because you've mentioned the phrase common good a couple of times. Talk to me about the theology of what you're trying to achieve that people might not have thought through before.
Well, it really goes back to Genesis 1 and 2, which we find a lot of times doesn't get talked about enough in our...
Or at least not in a good way.
Yeah, in our churches. We kind of jump into the gospel story and the good news story being when sin starts, you know, in Genesis 3. But the good news is that God designed every human being with a job description, okay? This is part of the good news story. It's not the only piece. And that job description is that we're called to be a part of renewing things, to taking dominion, to forming culture, to building cities. I mean, this was part of God's design in the garden, knowing one day this would end in a city. And so we're trying to help Christians recover that story that over 2,000 years was the story Christians told. It's why we have some of the great institutions. It's why we have public education. It's why we care about human dignity. These are Christian ideas that the rest of the world has copied, but they have their roots in Christianity. And so this story, this full story of understanding, hey, God's got a good design for every human being. We're all made in his image. The fall of the sin actually corrupts that, distorts it. But through Christ, we actually have an opportunity to redeem and renew that and to partner with him to restore all things around us, not just people, not just trying to convert people to our faith so they can go to heaven one day, but a fuller story that says our purpose in life is to be a part of restoration and reconciliation. And that's fun work. We get to roll up our sleeves and do a lot of God's work through our hands and feet, but it's fun getting to help people, serve people, help make the world a better place. That's ultimately a Christian message.
So we're still in the business of working the garden, cultivating what God has given us. We're still tending things. We're still trying to make the world a better place. Is these the ideas?
Yeah, they are. And we'll have setbacks in that process. It's not that we think we get to make the world completely new. No, we believe that Jesus ultimately will consummate this world and it will be new. But we get to be a part of demonstrating to people tangibly what an expression of his vision for them and for life and for our cities and for our industries and for the work that we get to do. We get to demonstrate that now. And that's really fun. And it actually enlightens our neighbors and our friends to what they were meant for, what they were born for.
If we walk down the street, though, that person, that neighbor of ours is most likely to hear, if they hear a Christian message, a message of condemnation. They might hear, you're a sinner, you need to be saved. Or they might hear, your lifestyle is incompatible with what God wants you to do, therefore you're condemned to go to hell. This is the message that they hear most often, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think it's unfortunate because it's actually a real cutting of the story of what the message really truly should be and historically has always been. Certainly, there's truth in what you just said. But to start the story with you're a sinner, you can't do anything right apart from Christ, like to begin the conversation with somebody there is not a place where people welcome that conversation. When you start the conversation and say, hey, you and I, we're children of God. We were all made in the image of God, and we've both had our failings. But through Christ, there is a way that can be redeemed. And you have all kinds of things to offer to this world that you actually could offer even if you're not a Christian. And that's a whole area of common grace. I don't know if you want to get into that, that actually helps explain why there's a lot of people in the world doing good things, but it's not under the label of Christian. And most Christians don't know how to reconcile that, but we think that's a pretty important thing to understand.
Yeah, I do want to mention that briefly. You've written about common grace in an essay that was very impactive on the Christian school movement that I was part of when we were rewriting our curriculum approach. Someone said, what's a Christian curriculum? Well, that's when we start with the Bible and we exclude all the bits that don't fit that worldview. Is that right? Well, we read your essay and we were challenged again by what Charles Colson had written about common grace, which is that God is seeing good things done in the community all the time. And one of the things we like to do is to shine a light on all of those things and say, this is God at work.
Yeah, we had a follow-up essay to that called The Problem of Good. You know, a lot of people talk about the problem of evil and C.S. Lewis, but we're saying most Christians don't know how to explain the problem of good in the world that didn't come from a Christian source. Well, the source of that is God's common grace, which Chuck Colson did so eloquently write in How Now Shall We Live, one of his great tomes. He said, you know, common grace is God's work to hold back the elements of the fall or of sin that would otherwise overwhelm the creation. And he partners with us to do that through good science, through good scholarship, through great works of art and beauty, through the things that we put our hands to. And so that's the exciting message. And when people hear this story and understand the Christian message is saying all this, they go, I've never heard this before. That's all-encompassing. It's holistic. It gives my life meaning and purpose. And that's what's been exciting around Q, and I know in our work with Q Commons, is the lights coming on for people to realize, look, the Christian faith isn't just this privatized thing about a relationship between me and God. It actually means I have a responsibility to the world and my neighborhood and my city and my community and my industry. And that's where this starts to get fun.